Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the conservative Republicans are taking a hissy fit today. Just taking a fit over the deal in the Senate. Could you believe the Republican Party sold out the Christians? Could you believe it? I can't. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm just beside myself. It's unprecedented. And what we really have going here is this one of the most fierce battles we've seen in a long time. And notice what it's over? It's over process. How many times have we pointed out here at Bob Enyart Live that process is what people, the default position that people get obsessed with process, whether they're journalists or talking heads or political activists. They much rather deal with process than substance. And why? Because we could fight the Democrats till the cows come home over process, and we are not going to win a spiritual battle. Not one. Now, we got to fight political battles as part of the spiritual battle. Cultural, moral battles, it's all part. In politics, government, it's all part of the spiritual battle. But you could fight process till the cows come home, and you're not going to make any headway on the spiritual battle, which means America will be just as in the gutter by the time you're done as when you started. And that's a diversionary tactic of the enemy to get good people who should know better obsessed with process. So could you believe the millions of dollars that have been spent, a lot of it by conservative Christians, over cloture rules? I mean, it's just bizarre. When did we fight like this over substance? I mean, we do sometimes, but this is what happens. And even on things like homosexuality, well, we fight gay marriage right out. But we don't fight homosexuality the way we're comfortable fighting gay marriage. Because we say, our leaders say, well, you know, it's tradition. And tradition shows that marriage is between a man and a woman. So what? Tradition showed that you could own blacks as slaves. So what? What does that matter? We need substantive arguments if we're going to win substantive victories. And if we're going to play games and be politically coy, we're not going to win. We're not going to win substantive battles being politically coy. So the Republicans did it to you. How's it feel? How's it feel? I mean, it's one thing if Al Sharpton stabbed you in the back, right? That's one thing. But this is the Republicans doing it to their own. That's because it's like the wife. Now, I hate to demean women, and obviously only a very small percentage of women would do this, and it's tragic. But it's like the wife who stays with her husband who beats her. She just stays there, and she's an enabler. And she makes excuses for him. And she just keeps taking it. And she calls up, and she lies to the boss. She said, oh, my husband is sick today, really has a hangover, and he beat her up last night. And he says, call my boss. And the body of Christ is like the beaten wife who takes it. But by the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So all I hear from the Protestant evangelical religious leaders for weeks now is that we're obsessed with cloture rules. That's really big, right? On Judgment Day, God is going to say, all right, I want everyone to stand in line for the rewards I'm giving out for those of you who stood true on cloture, since that's really big with me, God says. So that's what we get from our Protestant, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian leaders for months now. And then we got the Pope in the Vatican. You know what he said in Rome? This is what the Pope said. I have it right here. I'm not going to misquote it. My sound guy saying, don't do that. Don't do that. I just want to prove I'm not making it up. It's right here. Some people listen with headphones and they go, ow, that hurts. Will you stop doing that, Bob? That's like with their iPods and all. Okay. Anybody who owns an iPod deserves to get an eardrum blown out. I'm only kidding. I know they're the greatest thing. Okay. Here's what Pope Benedict, I got to refresh my Roman numerals, the 16th said. I don't know the previous 15 Benedicts, but I got a quote from this guy, right? And he said, the abortion doctrine cannot be changed even by a pope. Now, that is such a great point. I mean, I'm not close to reconverting to Catholicism, but what a great point. This is from the Vatican, May 9th, 2005. Sorry, it took us a couple weeks to get to you. On Saturday, Pope Benedict the 16th stressed that even the pope does not have the authority to alter the church's teaching on the sanctity of human life and its teachings on abortion and euthanasia. That is so totally true. And while the Pope, of all people, the Pope is making that fundamental statement and drawing the line in the sand, we have our evangelical leaders all arguing over cloture, as though that's the most significant issue of our time. Who said that recently? Was there any major Christian leader who said this is the most important issue of our day, the most, and he referred to it as a vote, but it never came to a vote. It was more like a Benedict Arnold thing. But Benedict Arnold? At eggs, huh? 16 of them? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, never mind. Sorry. To the audience, sometimes we have conversations going on here. Okay, so, you know, James Dobson said this cloture thing, the filibuster, was the most significant vote since World War II. Well, you have the Southern Baptists at their annual convention, and they vote on things like homosexuality and abortion. And, you know, I'm glad at an insignificant level, I'm glad that they vote that abortion is bad and homosexuality is bad. I'm glad they're doing that. At a much more substantive level, it is tragic that the Baptists think that they have the authority to vote on God's law. Let's vote on it. As soon as you start voting on adultery and abortion and homosexuality, and you pat yourself on the back because you say, look, we won by 71% of the vote. Oh, congratulations. As soon as you start doing that, eventually you could be certain you're going to lose the vote. God wrote the Ten Commandments in stone, not in soft clay. He didn't just rub his finger through in Jergens lotion or something, so you could just come along and rub it differently. So here's the Pope saying something substantive, that even the Pope, now for those who are not Catholic, that doesn't have much meaning, right? I remember years ago, a friend showed me that on the internet, for $15, you could get any religious title you wanted. And you could get a certificate. You could be ordained by, you know, the church of, I don't know what it was called. The first church of the gooey dead, where many are cold and a few are frozen. I don't know what it was called. But for $15, you could be a pastor, a minister, a bishop. You could be anything you want, a deacon. And they had about 100 different titles. Rabbi, priest, father. And the only thing I wanted was not on the list. I wanted Pope. Pope Bob the First. And it wasn't there. I couldn't even spend my money on that website. But here is the Pope saying something so utterly, fundamentally true that not even a pope has the authority to change the church's teaching on abortion. the killing of the innocent. And you have the Southern Baptists who should know better because the Pope goes by a lot of tradition. And that tradition often obscures the basic truths of Scripture. But you have the Southern Baptists who brag that they believe in sola scriptura only from the Bible, and they're voting on God's law. You think God said to the priests, the sons of Aaron, every year I want you to get together in Jerusalem. There was no Jerusalem at that time, but right, this is in the wilderness. I want you to get together every year in the place that I shall put my name, and I want you to vote on thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want you to take a vote on that. And I want you to vote on do not murder, vote on do not commit adultery, vote on do not steal, and vote on cloture. And if you do that, then I'll have some reasonable confidence that human history will go in the right direction. I mean, it's bizarre. We've reached, talk about things being upside down and backwards. Our Christian leaders have us ministering grace to the unbelievers and putting the Christians under law, which is exact reverse of what it should be. It should be law. You minister law to the unbeliever because the law leads men to Christ, and you minister grace to the Christian. But we're taught that, and by the way, later in the week, I'm going to read some letters from our mailbag, real nice letters people sent in. Today, maybe I'll read one goofy one. So nice ones later in the week, goofy one today. But you've got Christian leaders who say you minister to the world, the unbelievers, with grace, because this is the age of grace, and they put members of the body of Christ under law, under intense legalism. And legalism, by the way, the reason it's bad is because it takes away from a relationship with Christ. That's why legalism is bad. And that's why Paul, that's the most significant issue in his writings. Apostle Paul wrote 13 epistles. It's the most significant issue in his writings that he warns us about is legalism. All right, including regarding the Mosaic Law and the law of God and all that. Okay, so anyway, by the way, Benedict the 16th, he said that during a mass on the occasion of his taking possession of his bishopric of the city of Rome. So I think for $15, you could be a bishop, too. You could even be a cardinal. Yeah, you could be all those things for $15 on the internet. You get a certificate. You get ordained by the First Church of the Gooey Dead, where many are cold and a few are frozen. All right. Okay, so now we've got, the church. A church has a bulletin board out front. And it says the Quran. I can't believe it. It says the Quran. I just can't believe it. I mean, Christians are so. It says the Quran should be flushed. And and they're standing by their message. And, you know, there's a point there. There's certainly a point there. And who am I to impose my sensibilities on others? So there's a point there. The Quran should be flushed. And I think first and foremost, it comes down to whether you have a cesspool or a sewer system. I think that's you have to determine that first before you take that other issue up. Because the Quran, you know, from our government, America's government, there is way more respect given to Muhammad and Islam and the Quran than there is to Jesus Christ and Christianity and the Bible. Would you say you could establish that? Just read that book. We interviewed the author a while back, God and George W. Bush. And this is a very pro-Bush author. It was a great interview. You could read the book or just listen to the interview at kgov.com. You have to go into the archives to find it, but it was a great interview. So the Quran. So people are saying, you know, it's Newsweek's fault because they misrepresented the Quran was flushed, and that's why 17 Muslims have been killed. And the bigger issue, of course, is that Muslims will kill one another over a a book being flushed. That's the bigger issue. I mean, it doesn't matter if the Quran was flushed. They should have self-control. But then again, here in America, if your team enters the Final Four, people kill one another. So it's not that we have the moral high ground here. So we can't claim that. All right, what else do we have going? By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278. Okay, I got an email from a guy named Phil out of state. And I'm going to read you some of it, and then the response I replied to Phil. He says, "Hello, Pastor Bob." And, okay, and I'll skip some of this. "I've run for office 14 times since 1974. The cause of our abortion holocaust is a whole lot deeper than most people realize." That sounds intelligent, right? "Do you know about the Crown in London, England?" Uh-oh. Right off the bat, I get worried. "Do you know what BAR stands for, or as in the Bar Association of Colorado?" Uh-oh. I can tell right off the bat this letter's going downhill. "It stands for British Accredited Registry. Do you know that each member of the various bar associations are given the British title Esquire?" Oh. One more and he's overboard. "Esquire is the title given to the second son of a lord in England. That son usually goes into medicine, the law, or the military." This guy's lost. He's completely lost. He's shot. He's lost it. "I infiltrated the Democratic Party." You know, I think that's the first thing I've ever heard in my life that's made me feel sorry for Democrats. I think that's the first thing I ever heard. "I helped defeat some prominent pro-death incumbents in primary elections here in Minnesota." Now, that seems important. If you defeat pro-death Democratic politicians in primaries, that sounds great. "We defeated Hubert H. Humphrey." He's like the grandson of Skip, right? Skip Humphrey. "We defeated Hubert Humphrey, Skip Humphrey, twice. The last time I helped Jesse Ventura defeat him for governor." Oh, great. Isn't that what I'm talking about? When people, our side and those that we're embarrassed to admit are on our side, are so obsessed with process and politics as a sport, it's a competition. The same people who get obsessed by the filibuster, what percentage of them also get obsessed with the Stanley Cup or the World Series or the Super Bowl, right? Or Michael Jordan, or just fill in the blank. What percent? And how could you, since human beings are so competitive by nature that we will become truly obsessed. Tens of millions of human beings live their lives for competitions that are virtually meaningless. I mean, they're fun. I think it's fun. Sports. You know, I coach my son's soccer team. And, you know, sports are fun, and we watch typically only when any given sport reaches the playoffs. But tens of millions, or is it hundreds of millions of Christians, become obsessed with sports. And so then the same people, by and large, you know, a significant overlap. What percent is the overlap of conservative Republicans who are obsessed by things like the filibuster or primaries or the polls or the national conventions and the amount of, you know, how many times conservative Republican is mentioned in, as compared to liberal Democrat? Right? This obsesses us. And how do you know that your obsession with politics isn't the same thing as your obsession with the Colorado Avalanche? How do you know that? How can you tell that? Because the heart is exceedingly deceptive and wicked above all else. And so we have to ask God to search our hearts and know our ways and see if there's any wickedness in us. because we've got this extraordinary fight by pro-life conservative Christians to get cloture and get a vote on George W. Bush's judicial nominees. And a simple question for them is, well, which one of them are pro-life? Which one of those nominees do not believe that a woman has a right to have an abortion? Who? Patricia Owen, she's going to be a judge, right? What is it, Fifth Circuit? Now she'll be voted in. And I read part of her decision on the show, and she said what matters when a judge is trying to determine what should be the law regarding abortion, she said what matters is Roe v. Wade. That's what she said. I read it on this show. So if your state legislature has passed some law regarding abortion, she said then you have to uphold that law in light of Roe v. Wade. And there are tens of millions of Americans who are pro-choice because they say, if you ask them why, and they say, because it's the law. It is the law based on our Constitution. When the Supreme Court rules something, if Congress doesn't impeach them or amend the Constitution, then it's the law. And it's the law. George W. Bush said repeatedly, it's not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. And when he nominates judges, he ignores the abortion issue. The exact words he uses is that he has no litmus test, meaning that he doesn't consider abortion. And he's so proud of Alberto Gonzalez, who's radically pro-choice. So he would certainly put Alberto Gonzalez on the Supreme Court if there would not be a huge backlash by pro-lifers. So anyway, let me get back to this poor guy's letter, because I want to get to my reply to him, to Phil. Okay, so great. He helped Jesse Ventura defeat Skip Humphrey for governor. So he worked to replace a less effective pro-abort with a more effective pro-abort. Isn't that so often the way it is? It's just bizarre. I have since realized that the election that Jesse won may have been rigged. Oh, brother. I am an amateur nutritionist who delivers miracles. Oh, brother. That's it. And then he ends up, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And please, Phil, don't take our side. Please. You're one of the people who should just pray. I mean, most of us should pray and do something. You should just pray, and that's it. So I emailed Phil. Oh, he signs it Phil. I'll skip his last name. IRS commissioner. And he tells you what IRS stands for. Incumbent Removal Service. And that's an example of obsessed with process, right? As though it matters. Christians have spent, how many years have they spent going for term limits and going after the incumbents? You know, the incumbent, that's just the guy you were fighting like crazy to get in office in the first place. And now he's an enemy because he's an incumbent. That's so superficial and petty and absurd and irrelevant. That's almost like wasting your time over cloture. So we're going after the incumbents and we make term limits the holy grail? This is all obsession with process. It is so irrelevant. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So anyway, this is how I emailed Phil. Oh, poor guy. Okay, Phil, I am sure this email will be a complete waste of time. But out of concern for you and whatever eternal influence you have on others, I am responding. You have reached this point in your life without developing an effective ability to discern truth from falsehood and significance from insignificance. I suggest you quit reading the things that you read, quit listening to the shows that you listen to, find a new church where at least the pastor teaches Christ's deity and his literal resurrection, that abortion, homosexuality, and evolution are wrong, and where people bring their Bibles to church. Then attend that church for 10 years before even asking any questions. then attend another 5 years before trying to give any substantive opinions on any topics. This is the best I can do to help you avoid having a virtually meaningless impact on those around you. May God bless you, Pastor Bob Enyart, Denver Bible Church, and KGov.com. What else could possibly have been said to Phil? That Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, and the fact that the Brits had an accredited registry for lawyers for centuries is not exactly relevant to our battle on abortion? Going to try to make that historic legal argument? That's just bizarre. So either you could ignore people like this, or you could give them the only advice that could help them. And that's it. If anybody could think of something better, email it to me sometime at nyartbob@aol.com. But that's the best I could come up with. And that's our standard response to people who are off the charts. So, okay. Where did the time go? Hey, I want to suggest to you that you might want to read the plot manuscript. It's our 330-page overview of the Bible. It is just so much fun to read. We've sold thousands of these. They help Bob and Your Life stay on the air, and they help people feel really good about reading the Bible because it makes folks feel, they tell us for the first time, some of them in 10 or 30, 40 years, that they feel like they can read the Bible and understand every chapter. Because there's so many cliches and silly things that confuse us that when we open the Bible and read it, on so many pages, there are things that seem to contradict what we believe. So that doesn't lead us to really want to read the Word because it's discouraging, because we don't understand it, and it doesn't seem to agree with what we hear and what we're taught. So we tend to blow off the Bible and replace it with other things. So what we suggest is that you, well, if you'd like, just read the Bible and read it through cover to cover a few times, and that's a cure for that. But God has also appointed teachers in the body of Christ, and teachers, of course, have the greater accountability. And I've been studying the Word since 1973, 32 years, and I've taken about 30 years of research and wrapped it up in a manuscript called The Plot, which will help to undo some of the cliches that we become enslaved to, and it'll help teach us an overview of the Bible so that the details begin to make sense. And it is so much fun. That's why we've always offered a money-back guarantee. If people can't afford it, we've told people whatever you can afford, especially an MP3 CD, because that's less expensive to produce. If you're not a Christian, we'll send you our Mount Moriah video for free on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But go to kgov.com, call us, visit Denver Bible Church, and in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen, Maranatha Christian Center, 431-5653.